The scripture for this message is Ezekiel chapter 47 verses 1 through 5 and Exodus chapter 20 verse 8 and Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. I read from Ezekiel. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. It brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate, by way of the gate that faces east, and behold, the water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I couldn't ford, for the water was had risen enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Senior pastor will deliver the sixth message entitled, God Measures Our Faith.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, GCN and Manmin TV viewing audiences, this is the sixth session on God Measures Our Faith. As you already know, the things of the flesh refer to the sins that you commit with thoughts, such as hatred, judging, envy, and jealousy. The works of the flesh, not things of the flesh, but works of the flesh, refer to the sins in action. If you show the things of the flesh in action, then it is the work of the flesh. It takes a relatively significant period of time and amount of effort to cast away things of the flesh, but you can easily cast away works of the flesh if you try with determination. It's easy to cast away works of the flesh. You can just make up your mind to do it, to cast them away. So right after reading the Bible once, I cast them away right away. So it didn't take so much time. While I was reading through the Bible, I was casting them away. By the time I finished reading the Bible once, I cast the works of the flesh away. When we first begin our Christian life, it is the first level of faith. And as we grow in the faith, when we begin to practice the truth, it is the second level of faith. And when we cast away all works of the flesh, it is the third level of faith. So if you commit works of the flesh, it means you go back to first level of faith, and it takes time to recover the faith. So this way, even if you have been a Christian for 20 years, you just stay in the third level of faith. For me to get into third level, from first level to the third level, maybe it took 1 month. I don't think it didn't even take a month, because it took the time. Just the time duration was just to finish reading the Bible once. So I think it took less than a month to go into the third level of faith. So you can easily cast away your works of the flesh. Also, if you do not cast away but keep on committing works of the flesh, you might be distancing yourself from salvation. Furthermore, if you commit the works of the flesh that are directly related with salvation, you cannot receive salvation. These are the sins that deprive of salvation. Among the works of the flesh, there are sins that cannot be forgiven. That is the sins leading to death. You cannot receive spirit of repentance for these sins, so you cannot repent of them. If you commit the works of the flesh leading to death, you cannot receive the spirit of repentance. So you should have discernment between the sins depriving of salvation and sins leading to death. There are different sins. Sins depriving of salvation, you can repent and turn away. But in case of sins leading to death, you cannot receive the spirit of repentance, so you can't repent. So it means you go to death. That is why you must never commit sins leading to death. That is why the Bible puts great emphasis on the sins leading to death by telling us that you should even pray for those who commit sins leading to death. In the Friday Olight service, special healing session, I prayed for more than 1,000 people. In case of those who are on the wheelchairs, in the first special session, there was nobody who had the faith to receive salvation. So I was expecting there might be somebody this time, but there was none. And there was one person who came from China. He came on a wheelchair. Because he came from another country, I remembered him. So I wanted to raise him up in the sight of all the church members. Because he came from another country, so I thought he had that much faith. So I wanted to raise him up, and I prayed for him, but God wasn't working at all. Not just that, but God said, He stood against me. He stood against me so much. He cursed me. He cursed God. And he stood against God so much. So he couldn't, obviously he couldn't be healed. So that's why I, towards the end of the special session, I asked the wife, his wife, I checked with her. What kind of things did her husband do? I asked her, and she said he cursed God, and he stood against God, and he burnt the Bible. And you heard her say yourself. So I was also disappointed. He came all the way from China, and I wanted to heal him. I wanted to raise him up. So I was disappointed because nothing would work for him. So in this kind of case, on wheelchairs, I don't see anybody who had faith, who prepared themselves. And if they just have a little bit of faith, I could just raise him up in the sight of all church members. So I feel sorry for that. And especially because he stood against God and he burnt the Bible. And if you rip apart the Bible, and if you do something like that, I saw many cases that it would affect themselves and also their children. The children, they receive the works of Satan, and they try to lead a good Christian life, but they still receive the interfering works of those Satan. And since childhood, they have this kind of interference. They are already college students, and they want to work for the kingdom of God, but Satan doesn't leave them. And in another case, that person burnt the Bible with an oil on the rooftop, and I thought he repented, and because he's attending theological college, and I thought he repented. So I thought it was okay. But finally, it was not. He finally betrayed God, and he tried to destroy the church. And he received this kind of a Satan's work. And I saw many cases. And even yesterday, God said that he stood against him. And the wife clarified, confirmed that he even burned the Bible. So I asked the prayer center also, because he's in the prayer center. And he can't repent. He doesn't even say amen to the message. So I asked his wife once again this morning, did he repent? And she says no. He came all the way from China to receive healing, but he can't repent. It just doesn't happen. So if you commit sins leading to death, you can't repent. If you can repent, you will be saved. But because you can't repent, like in the Bible, they have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear, because their heart is hardened. So you have to know what sins depriving of salvation and what sins leading to death are. You have to have the clear discernment, distinguishment. In the last session, I first talked about idolatry. In this session, among the sins depriving of salvation, let us look into the sins of violating the Sabbath and not giving proper tithes. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will check yourself to see if any part of the message applies to you, and if there is anything, you will turn away from your misconduct. Brothers and sisters, the second of the sins depriving of salvation I'll discuss is violation of the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20 verses 8 to 10 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." In the Old Testament, it was Saturday, and in the New Testament, it is Sunday. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. You or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. Even your cattle, they must not work. Your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. If you have a guest in your house, they also have to keep the Sabbath. You shall not do any work. This is the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments must be kept, and this is the fourth commandment. In the Old Testament, they immediately executed those who violated the Sabbath. The latter part of Exodus 31:15 says, "Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death." Shall surely be put to death. It means there is no salvation. If you violate the Sabbath, no salvation. The Bible tells us this much, and you shouldn't take it casually. We can understand that the violation of the Sabbath falls under the sins depriving of salvation. Some husbands here, they attend just the morning service and they don't come for the evening service. It means they are churchgoers, but they don't have the faith to receive salvation. I believe they will someday have the faith to keep the Sabbath holy, but right now they are not doing that. To violate the Sabbath is same as admitting that you are not among the people of God. What is the reason? Exodus chapter 31 verse 13 says, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. As said, to keep the Sabbath holy, is a sign that shows we are children of God. Let us think about the reason why. In 2009, I explained about it in detail in the sermon series, Keep the Sabbath Holy. So let me just briefly touch on it again. To keep the Sabbath holy is to recognize the spiritual authority of God. God created heavens and earth and all things in them and rested on the seventh day. Genesis chapter 2 verse 3 says, Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Therefore, to keep the Sabbath is to show our faith that says, God created heavens and earth and all things in them, including humans, and he is the Lord who governs all things. God created heavens and earth and all things in them, including humans, and he is the Lord who governs all things. It is to profess our faith. To keep the Sabbath is to profess this as our faith. For this reason, to violate the Sabbath is same as admitting that we have nothing to do with God. So if you do not keep the Sabbath holy, it means that we are saying we have nothing to do with God. We don't have any relationship with God. But today, even those who say they believe in God consider keeping the Sabbath very casually. Some people think it is impossible to keep the Sabbath holy in these modern days. Of course, it doesn't make sense. They argue that the situations are very different from the Old Testament times, so we can just keep it according to the present situations. Of course, we cannot keep the Sabbath exactly in the same way as the sons of Israel did in the Old Testament times. But if we do not keep the things that we can keep, it is not to keep it according to the current circumstances. It is only compromise. In what ways does God say we have to keep the Sabbath? Isaiah chapter 58 verses 13 to 14 says, If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, so you shouldn't go where your foot shouldn't be going. Last time, a young man died in a traffic accident and he was going to take pleasure on the Sabbath. Of course, they attend the worship service. They gather all people. They say they keep the Sabbath on the action. So they gather, those friends got together after the worship service, and they went to this place, and they waited there until midnight. And right from the midnight, they began playing. And they got together to go to that place on the Sabbath, and they waited until the midnight, and they began playing after midnight. And those of you who went there, you are violating the Sabbath together. But the one who gathered all his friends, his sin was more grave. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable and honored, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. So on the Sabbath, you must not be talking about business or making money. Then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So you'll receive all the blessings that are written in the Deuteronomy chapter 28. The heritage of Jacob your father. You'll be blessed whether you come in or go out, and And the Sabbath is the day to receive blessings. Suppose you keep the Sabbath holy, then you'll have peace throughout the week. You will not face any disasters or accidents. You face disasters or traffic accidents because you don't keep the Sabbath holy. We have to keep the Sabbath as the Word of God says even today. And we can surely do it. But what is the situation today? All the church members, elders, and pastors, if you keep the Sabbath holy, please raise your hands. Why not in the second sanctuary? How about third sanctuary? How about the second floor? Please, not to take an oath or something, please raise your hands. Third sanctuary, sixth sanctuary. Put them down. I thought you were not keeping it holy properly, but most of you are raising your hands. Last year, was it we had the World Cup soccer matches? What did you do? Pastors, elders, and so many people, they repented, but they were taking pleasure on the Sabbath. After midnight, so Saturday, after midnight, so now it became Sunday, but they were watching this soccer match. How? Why, you know, would you be watching a soccer match on Sunday? So this way, you don't keep it holy. Right from the first moment of the Sabbath, you're watching a soccer game. Because why? Because you wanted to find out who win, who won? Obviously, we'll find out the next day. But on that day, the win or lose, it was already decided in the first half, before midnight. Korea already lost. You didn't even have to watch the second half. But you were taking pleasure right from the first moment of the Sabbath. And you, can you say you keep the Sabbath holy? The problem is your heart. Do you have the willingness to really obey the Word of God? Then why would you watch something so trivial, that kind of a pleasure? Especially, it's the first moment of the Sabbath, after midnight. God tells us we have to desist in our own ways, but people work even on the Sabbath for their personal benefit. Some attend the service for a little while and go to work. Or they go on a picnic to the mountains or a park, or they go to watch movies or sporting events. They even indulge themselves in worldly pleasure with brothers and sisters of the church. Then obviously they also buy and sell things. They may even practice lawlessness following their desires. When I had the revival meetings all over the country, I had to leave on Sunday after evening service because it was a faraway place. Also, in other countries, we sometimes have to fly on Sunday. But before midnight, I never went into service area, except for the bathrooms. Didn't even buy any drinks or soft drinks or anything. Never, not even once. I just would have to wait until midnight. I would buy them only after midnight on Sundays. Because there must not be any selling or buying things on the Sabbath. They do all these things. So they buy and sell things, and they may even practice lawlessness. And they do all these things, but they think they kept the Sabbath because they attended a service. Would God think the same way? Isaiah chapter 1 verse 13 says, "Bring your worthless offerings no longer. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the solemn assembly." God was rather lamenting. He couldn't bear with this kind of evil deeds, incense and offerings on the outside, without having the heart. Even though they come to church and attend the worship service, if they work or enjoy worldly pleasure before church, they already violated the Sabbath. They attend just morning service and they open their shops, or they go on a picnic, or they go golfing or mountain climbing or fishing. They go to watch soccer matches or baseball matches. It is not to keep the Sabbath holy. They are also filled with the thoughts to work or to enjoy themselves after the service. So how can they worship in spirit and truth? I think you have discernment involving these cases. If those who gathered in the name of the Lord enjoy worldly pleasure on the Sabbath, would God be with them? He would just turn his face away from them, not to mention being with them. If they spend the Sabbath like that, how can they say they kept the Sabbath and that they have the faith to receive salvation? Nowadays, even churches have taken a lead in abolishing the Sabbath. For example, as they work 5 days a week and rest on both Saturday and Sunday, they do the worship service on Friday and let the members do what they want on the weekends. They do not keep the Sabbath according to the will of God, but they pretend to be keeping it according to man's will and for their convenience. They attend worship service on a Friday, which is not a Sabbath, because they want to take a rest, or especially it's a two-day weekend. But regardless of the age and the time, we have to keep the Sabbath holy according to the Word of God. The commandment on keeping the Sabbath was not just for the sons of Israel who came out of Egypt, but for all God's children. It is a statute that must be kept regardless of the age. Of course, today, God does not punish us like in the Old Testament right away just because we violate the Sabbath. Those who are in the first or the second level of faith sometimes violate it, for they do not understand the importance of keeping the Sabbath holy, or they have weak faith. God does not castigate them immediately, because we are different from the sons of Israel in the Old Testament. For them, they are born into that kind of culture. They are educated under their parents. They keep the Sabbath since their childhood, strictly. But in the New Testament, here, we are not a Christian state, and we are not taught to do that from our parents. We were befriending the world and we came into faith. And so in the first level of faith, we don't know the truth. They just try to learn the truth and practice it one by one. Then up to the second level of faith, their faith is not complete. So this is the difference between Old and New Testament. So in the New Testament, in that kind of case, God still forgives them because they have weak faith. But for sons of Israel in the Old Testament, they didn't have such a thing. Right from their birth, they have to keep the law. The New Testament era is where we keep the law with the heart rather than action itself. It's because our Lord fulfilled the law with love. keeping the law with heart. In the Old Testament, it was only inaction. If you don't commit sins, inaction, it was okay. Even though you had an evil heart, even though you had hatred to kill somebody, you didn't commit any sin. Unless you committed sins in action. But in the New Testament, if you have adulterous mind, seeing a woman, it means you violated the law. If you just have the desire, then it means you committed sin. In the Old Testament, even if you committed, you had adulterous mind, even if you committed adultery in heart, it wasn't considered a sin in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the sinning in heart is also a sin. This Old Testament is a law of action. But in New Testament, we keep the law with heart. We keep the law with all our heart, with inner heart. Why is it? In the Old Testament, it wasn't the era of the Holy Spirit. Even if they wanted to keep it with heart, they couldn't. So in action, they could just abstain from committing sins. So it wasn't considered a sin. But in the New Testament, we have to keep it with heart. Because in the New Testament, we know that Jesus Christ is our Savior who redeemed us from our sins. And when we believe in Him, God gives us the Holy Spirit. So because the Holy Spirit came to us and He dwells in us, so He leads us to live by the law of God. He lets us know the law of God, what about righteousness, judgment, and so because there is judgment, He guides us to live by the word of God, not committing sins. So He leads us to circumcise our heart, to cast away sins. That is why in the New Testament, we must not sin with the heart. The Lord Jesus forgave us of our sins, and He even gave us the Holy Spirit to cast away, to help us cast away sins. So those who obey, those who believe, they obey. So it is possible. So they must not commit sins even with heart. That's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament. Which one is harder? Old or New Testament? Old Testament or New Testament? To lead a life in faith. New Testament is much easier in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you have a lot of evil heart. The desire to kill, desire to commit adultery, but you still have to abstain yourself from committing those actions. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is helping us, and He is helping us to cast away adulterous mind, the desire to kill, desire to do evil deeds, hatred and envy and jealousy. So after we cast away all these evil minds, what do we have? We have goodness, holiness, purity in our heart. So we have the kingdom of heaven in our heart. So we are just so happy. That is why we can always rejoice and give thanks in all circumstances. So we accomplish kingdom of God in our kingdom of heaven in our heart. So this is much easier than leading a life in faith in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament times, they were full of evil heart, evil minds, but they couldn't let it out. But in the New Testament, we cast away the evil desires themselves, so we have the kingdom of heaven in our heart. And I'm so thankful that I was born in this New Testament. If I was born in Old Testament, I probably might not have been able to go to New Jerusalem. So even though our deeds are not perfect yet, God gives us chances with compassion if we have the willingness to keep the Sabbath. But if we go beyond the limit of forgiveness, you should know that we cannot receive salvation. If you repeatedly violate the Sabbath, knowing that you have to keep the Sabbath holy, and while you can keep it, if you make up your mind and try, then it is an act of ignoring God's word. In such a case, it cannot be said that you either believe in God or revere Him. I hope you will keep the Sabbath holy according to the will of God and stay in the boundary of salvation. Is there anybody who feels it is difficult to keep the whole day holy on every Sunday? Then you might want to change your way of thinking. Mark chapter 2 verse 27 says, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Of course, the Sabbath is a day on which we serve God, but ultimately it is made for us. It is a day for God to give us blessings. On the Sabbath, we can just rest for the whole day after working so hard for the whole week. But we have to attend a worship service from the morning. We just eat noodles, and after lunch we have a small group meeting, and some of you, they go to a choir practice. Why is it a Sabbath? Why is it resting? It is resting because it is a day to receive blessings, and it is the way to go to heaven. It is to learn the word of God, to praise Him, to pray, and this is the way for heavenly kingdom. In heaven, we'll be living happily forever in heavenly kingdom. And also for Friday online service, a lot of people came from all over the country, and you were singing praises, and you were so happy, you were so full of the Spirit. And this week, they were saying their heart was bursting. Some of them are saying they thought some intestines were gushing out because they were jumping and praising God. And whether old or young, all elders, pastors, and all the church members, we are all singing with so much happiness. Even the second sanctuary, third sanctuary, all sanctuaries were filled with the Spirit and happiness, I heard. It is a day that God determined to give His children blessings. If we believe in this fact and keep it holy, God protects us and blesses us during the rest of the week. Also, the Sabbath is a day that He gave for us to enjoy true rest. So believe in this fact and keep it holy. Dwell in the sanctuary of God. Take the spiritual bread, offer to God praises and prayers, and enjoy the delight in the Holy Spirit. How happy a thing this is. Many people say, we'll do this in heavenly kingdom too, like in the Friday All Night service. I want to go to heaven quickly. I want to go into... So they have more fervent longing for New Jerusalem. It is so happy to praise God and worship God even on this earth. And if you don't go to New Jerusalem, what will happen? And they really want to go to New Jerusalem, so singing praises to God. And many of them said they really made up their mind once again. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will all enjoy this kind of blessing and rest. Dear brothers and sisters, the sins depriving of salvation, thirdly, is the sin of not giving proper tithes. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22, God commands His people, the sons of Israel, saying, "You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year," which is one-tenth of the income. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 9 also talks about how serious the consequences will be if we do not give tithes. It says, "Will a man rob God?" After accepting the Lord, after learning that you have to give tithes, have you robbed God or not? If you have robbed God, please raise your hands. If you have not robbed God, please raise your hands.
Yeah.
Many of you raised your hands that you robbed God. Especially children in the Sunday school, along with many other adults, grown-up adults, in their childhood, their mother gave them money to give tithe. They gave half of it and they spent the other half for themselves. They bought something, some snacks, or they didn't give anything. So they knew about giving tithe. Many of you have done that too. And even those people, they raised their hands saying that they haven't robbed God. If you rob God the Almighty, the Lord of all heavens and earth, what a great grand thief you are, grand robber you are. Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In repentance letters, I saw so many repentance letters last year. They robbed, they didn't give tithes. How have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, but for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me. If you do not give proper tithes, you receive curse. That's what the Bible tells us. Because God doesn't protect you. Because it is not faith. You don't have faith. If you don't give tithe, you don't have faith. If you do have faith, you must give tithe. God tells us that if you give tithe, He'll bless us to, He even tells us to test Him on that matter. But you don't give. You don't give because you don't believe the Word of God. If you do believe, you will definitely do it. Because God says He will open the gate of heaven and fill you, bless you, until it overflows. So if you believe, you will definitely do it. Because I believed it since I came to know about tithes when I was a new believer. Since I learned about tithes, I always have been giving at least 2/10 of my income, even now, more than 2/10. All the time. That is why. What did God do? He blessed me so much. Financial, health blessings, all kinds of blessings. And there's no curse. I haven't got any sickness, never gets into any traffic accident. Even though I fell by my mistake, and didn't get injured or my anything. Always God protected me, even until this day. Because I believe that kind of fact. Sometimes I'm a little bit careless in my action, but He always protects me, never gets into any traffic accident. My driver, Elder Che, he is a little bit quick-tempered. So when he first began driving from my car, he just got the license and he was a unskilled driver. And the finance committee at that time, they didn't. So they were saying there are many other good drivers, and why do you want a person who just got his license? And they were saying, it's not possible, but I said, it's okay. God will protect me. It is God who can protect us. It's not any skilled driver. So many other people, they just get the license after trying once or twice, but he failed many times. But anyway, I recruited him as my driver. In the beginning, he had short temper and he was a little bit wild and he made many mistakes. In the city, in downtown, and in the high on the highways, He made many mistakes, but every time, in such an amazing way, God protected us. It was, you know, we were actually getting into traffic accident, but God protected us that we didn't have any traffic accident. And I remember many cases. It was traffic accident. We were there, but it didn't happen. Many times. Once in Gangwon-do, he was driving so fast and we went into such a big truck. How can any person understand? We just went under the truck. Even now, I don't understand it, but it is a clear, it is a fact. In a, when I was a new believer, I was riding a bus, express bus, and because of poor maintenance, the front wheel, it came off. And the front wheel, one of the front wheels, the right front wheel, it came off on the highway while it was running so fast. But it didn't get into an accident. Nothing happened. And they say it's impossible. So there were many cases where I would have gotten into traffic accidents, but I didn't get even the slightest scratch on my car. Nobody came in contact with my car. Nobody. We didn't even have any fender bender. There was not even a little bit of scratch. And also for my previous car, it never went to it never got broken down any of the parts. So you didn't have to go to the shops. In the beginning, maybe after Elder Che became. So God, it is God who can protect us. But if we rob God, curses come upon us. So when you have a traffic accident, if your bone is cracked, say the car is damaged so badly and it's not repairable, and if there is any bone that is hurt, broken or cracked, I ask them right away, you didn't keep the Sabbath, did you? If they don't lie, it is 100%. And you didn't give a tithe. Definitely. Some say, oh, one time I didn't do it. I usually do it, but one time I didn't do it. Like, but you don't keep the Sabbath holy and you don't give proper tithes. And if you keep the Sabbath holy and give proper tithes, even if you get into traffic accident, you don't get injured. God protects you. And you've seen so many cases. If you just keep proper Sabbath and give proper tithe. So that's why I can definitely see it. Unless, even if you doze off while driving and if your car is wrecked, you're protected. You don't get injured at all. If you do not give tithes as God's children, it's robbing God, and it says, for this reason they were cursed. We can understand that not giving tithes is a sin depriving of salvation. Let us think about why this sin is a sin depriving of salvation in two aspects. First, not giving tithes, just like not keeping the Sabbath, is the evidence that you don't believe in God, and for this reason you cannot receive salvation. Some people say they believe in God with their lips, but if they believe in God, they must believe that the Bible is God. Bible is the Word of God, and it is God, because the Word is God. And if they believe the Bible, they will definitely keep the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that we have to If we give proper tithes, God will open the gate of heaven and He will bless us overflowingly. But because they don't believe the word of God, they don't keep it. And they say they believe in God. If they say that, it is a lie. That is why in 1 John and in Revelation, the liars cannot receive salvation because of these cases. Friday online service, I was speaking about the pastors who are saying, you know, you shouldn't just be saying, oh, you're saved. The Bible clearly explains to us how one can receive salvation. The children, they've told them to believe in the Lord, but they didn't accept it. They rather persecuted these believers. They rejected the gospel. They didn't accept the gospel. But when they have this cerebral apoplexy or cerebral hemorrhage, and when they're hospitalized, or they say, oh, you have to believe in the Lord to go to heaven, and they always nod. They just nod. Is that they accepted the Lord? Does that mean they are saved? You say, oh, do you believe heaven and hell? Then they nod. Or do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior? Then they nod. And does that mean they believe? Is there truth in their saying, in their nodding? It has to be true confession of faith. They don't even know who Jesus is. Right before they die, they don't even know Jesus Christ, and they don't even know why Jesus Christ is our Savior. They have to know all these things, and they have to accept the Lord, and they have to receive the Holy Spirit so their names can be written in the book of life. They just briefly explain, oh, and you have to believe and believe. So say amen or just nod if you believe, and they nod. And they want to hang on to anything because they are about to die. And they nod and they say amen, and you say they are saved. If you pastors teach like that, how can you avoid the judgment? Because you told a lie. The pastors, they should know better. They should know the Bible clearly. It is to mock their family members. Oh, there's a rainbow. The rainbow can be shown because God can let them. God can let them see to comfort the heart of the family members. It doesn't mean the deceased is saved. So we have to be watchful about our words. We have to teach correctly. We have to teach correctly, especially about salvation, so they can receive salvation. It doesn't just happen like that. The deed of giving the tithe implies that you acknowledge the material authority of God over all things. You see, He created all things. Everything belongs to God. It is to acknowledge that fact. Namely, you acknowledge that all things in the world belong to God. Haggai chapter 2 verse 8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts." As said, everything we have and enjoy on this earth belongs to God originally. All things in heavens and earth. And in other words, if you get 10 units as your income, all 10 units actually belong to God. If you acknowledge this fact, why would it be difficult to give just one of those 10 units? It is something very natural to give to God what is already His. Furthermore, God does not tell His children to give the tithe because He lacks something. He doesn't tell us to give to Him because He lacks something. He commanded us to give the tithes and offerings to give us blessings and abundant rewards in heaven. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." He even tells us to test Him. If you give proper tithes and offerings, God will open the windows of heaven and pour out for us a blessing until it overflows. This is a promise in the Bible. He even tells us to test Him. And if you don't do that, if you don't give, it means you don't believe the Bible. That is why it has got something to do with salvation, because you don't believe. You say, oh, you don't believe just this verse. You believe all other verses, but you don't believe the verse that tells us to give money, but you still believe all other verses. It's not like that. It is rather for your blessing, your own blessing. This word is so true that He's even telling us to test Him on this matter. The reason why people still do not give tithe is because they don't believe in God or His word. Those who don't believe in God cannot enter into His kingdom, the heavenly kingdom. This is the reason why those who do not give tithes cannot receive salvation. But it's different from Old Testament. The sons of Israel, they learn the law of God since their childhood, from their birth. They are taught and they do it since their childhood. But today, we are not believers from birth. Sometimes we are not really raised by parents who have good faith. And so when we are in the first level of faith, we sometimes do not give because we lack faith. Even in the second level of faith, we sometimes practice the word, and while at other times we don't. So it doesn't mean we will not be saved just because we don't give proper tithes in the second level and first level of faith. Those new believers, it's not for them. Even if they don't give tithes, it's not that they are not saved. But those who are in the third level of faith, they have faith. They know that they have to give tithes. And this way they can receive blessings. They are in the third level of faith because they believe all the word of God. And after being in the third level of faith, and if you don't give proper tithes, it's got something to do with salvation. You're supposed to be in the third level of faith, but you don't believe in God's word. But it, so it means actually you're not even in the third level of faith. It's just that you've been a Christian for a long time, but in the sight of God, you are still in the first or second level of faith. It means you are kind of a handicapped in faith. If you've been a Christian for some time, for a certain period of time, you must be in the third level of faith by that time. After like 5 or 10 years, you have to grow up. Even babies, they have to grow up. Suppose even at the age of 5 or 10, you can't even go to bathroom yourself, and you have to be fed by mothers. It's not normal. It's the same in faith. If you are not in the third level of faith, even after 5, 10 years, it's not normal. It's not right. After 1 or 2 years, you have to be in the third level of faith. Another reason why you cannot be saved when you do not give tithes is your greed. The sin of not giving tithes originally comes from greed for material things. Some people think that they do not have anything or they don't have enough to give tithes. But everybody has some income. Furthermore, all believers have some kind of income. If your necessities are met, that is, if you eat something and wear something, it means God gave you some kind of income. The real reason why you cannot give tithes is because you have greed and stinginess. If you are willing to give, you will pray to God so you can give the tithes. God will also answer you so that you will be able to give. Some people say they will give when their situations get better later, because they feel it is wasteful to give tithes right now. But if you think about it, what a foolish thought this is. Luke chapter 12, verses 19 to 20 says, "And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? You accumulated so much wealth, but if God calls you today, to whom all these things will belong?" If one considers money more valuable than God's word, this means he considers money more valuable than God and his own soul. If God calls the spirit of this person right now, even though he has a mouth, he'll be speechless. Therefore, cast away greed for money and cheerfully give offerings to God. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will be able to stand before the Lord when he comes back without any shame. Those new believers who just registered in the church, do not say, I put an emphasis on the money. In my life or in my ministry, I've never put an emphasis on the money itself. It is just that I teach the word of God, so what they should know, so they can receive salvation and they can receive blessings. I don't always say that you have to give tithes. I don't even give a sermon on tithes once a year. And it is for your own blessings. Since I came to learn about the tithes, I've always been giving more than 20% all the time since I was a new believer. Even now, I give more than 20%. That is why I receive abundant blessings, overflowing blessings. So I help with so many people nowadays. Even nowadays, I try to look for the people who are in need. So yesterday, I'm helping the college students also. What kind of people? Not just anybody in need, but those who are going into spirit. If you are in spirit, they cannot be poor. But in case of students, it's up to their parents. The students, they just study. But if they're in spirit or they pass the rock of faith and those who are close to spirit, I look for them and help them. I helped many students. If they're in the spirit or just before the spirit, most of them received some kind of help from me because they love God that much. If they are in a need because of their parents, their parents might not be such good Christians or things like that. So seeing the students themselves, I help them. Who will look for the people to help? So I spend quite a lot on helping the needy. So I can help because God gives me that much blessing. Without the blessing of God, I can't do it. God gives me abundantly, so I help abundantly. I prepare the vessel to receive the blessings of God, and I walked away, I walked in a way that I can receive blessings, so God can give to me. Because gold is mine, he says. Silver is mine. So what gold is, God says, I also, what is Father's is also mine. I don't have any blockage or anything like that between God and myself. So I ask him anytime, and he gives to me. I don't even have to ask. If I need anything, he gives me. He, just by harboring something in my heart. He knows in advance what I will need. But anyway, if I need anything, if I ask, he gives me right away. Brothers and sisters, when we give tithes, we have to give whole tithes according to the will of God. Some people teach that giving tithes is a condition not for salvation, but just for blessing. They teach that they can give tithes if they want to receive blessings, but if they don't, it doesn't affect their salvation. Some of them misunderstand the truth, but in other cases, they know the truth, but they fear that the church members will leave the church if they teach the truth as it is. They teach them for their own blessings, but they are offended by it, and they leave the church. They think. But you have to teach the right thing so that they can really receive the blessings. I don't really understand why the parish pastors cannot lead the people to receive blessings, the church members. They can teach them right. They can lead them to act right so they can receive blessings. But for any reason, we must not compromise in giving tithes. We can receive the blessings of God only when we understand and practice God's word properly. This way, we can have living faith, namely the faith to receive salvation. Also, some people say it is legalistic to put an emphasis on the deeds, but it is not right. They say believing in heart is important, and it is only the heart that counts. But is it really true? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." To give offerings to God is to show that they have the heart towards God. Also in Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, "Oh, to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." He rebukes those who keep the law without the heart. But in the latter part of verse 23, he said, "But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others." Namely, you have to circumcise your heart. You have to have the heart, and also you have to have the deeds to give the tithe. Namely, the heart is important in keeping the law, but we must not abolish the deeds either. Most of you give the tithe with joy stemming from the bottom of your heart. You set apart your tithe first when you have income. Also, to give proper tithe, you don't calculate to the last cent to give exactly one-tenth of your income with stinginess. You consider the treats and other gifts you received and give more than what is necessary. This way you can give whole tithe without omitting any income. I hope none of you will be offended by this message. I don't want any money. Even if you give a lot of tithes, I don't receive more salary from the church. I don't receive any living expenses. I don't receive anything from the church. Since the opening of the church, I don't receive anything from the church. It's for your own blessing you give tithes, and it is for your own blessings of the soul. So please don't have any misunderstanding. Is there anybody who is not giving such a tithe yet? Even if you don't, you don't really have to worry that you might not receive salvation as long as you're praying and trying to do it. But if you have listened to God's word for a long time and are supposed to have significant measure of faith, but have not yet determined to do that, I hope you will be warned through this message. It is directly related to salvation. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters, where are you putting your heart? I hope you will put your heart not on this earth, but in heaven. The most representative signs of this are keeping the Lord's Day holy and the giving of the tithe. These two commandments are the most basic measurements when we measure the faith to receive salvation. Therefore, profess the faith to be able to yearn for the Lord's Day and to joyfully give tithe with thanks for God's supplying your needs. In doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will dwell within the boundary of salvation safely and comfortably. Let us pray thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become life and faith. Let us acknowledge the sovereignty, spiritual authority, and material authority of God, so that we can receive all the physical, financial, and spiritual blessings. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. sometimes in a counseling, or they say they are trying to cast away. They are trying to cast away. It means they are not casting away sins. If they really have the willingness to cast away, they don't try. Do you understand? If you really cast away, why do you have to try? You just cast away. Trying to cast it away means you feel it is faithful to cast it away. You just try to cast it away, but you don't. That is why you try. If you want to study hard, you don't have to try to study hard. You can just study hard. And if you do study hard, your grades will go up. If you stay in the same average, same grade level throughout the year, it means you didn't study hard. You just try, that's all. You don't have to try, you can just do it. You can just cast it away. Oh, I try to quit smoking, I try to quit drinking. But you don't quit. You can just quit. So you shouldn't be staying at trying. You have to do it. I pray for the sick, lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Lord, lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and cleanse them. Light come. Father, show your works transcending space and time. Pastor Ito Masaaki of Japan will have handkerchief crusade at Matsumoto Mamin Church on June 22nd, Wednesday. Bless them. Pastor Toki Kuni Miyako of Japan will have a handkerchief crusade at Nagoya Mamin Church on June 25th, Saturday. Bless them. Wu Xie Mei of Malaysia wants to recover her eyesight. And let her do well in the medical exam in July and September. And Vitaly in the United States, let him not hang around with bad friends anymore and let him have good terms with the parents Andre of the United States. Let him love God from the heart. Ji Yung Chen. Let his father, Ji Chun Chin, be healed of high blood pressure. Let his mother, Yang Mi Ying, be healed of cataract. Let his wife, Ling Huo Chen, be healed of short-sightedness and obesity. Chen Cha Hua, there is a swelling in the legs, fever, paralysis, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Su Chi, heart disease, diabetes, cataract, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Zhang Lei, Wei Yang, Kim Solme, give them blessing of conception. Li Ji Chan, headache, go away. Wang Ying Hua, high blood pressure, high level of sugar, amnesia, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Zhou Jing Zhong, cerebral infarction, heart disease, diabetes, cataract, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Wang Ying Hua, heart disease, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Li Zhao Xia, there's a gas in the intestines, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yu Shu Jin, let her husband be healed of the pain in the ankles. Zhang Ying, let the spiritual cord of idolatry be broken down and let his family be evangelized. Chen Zhou, forgive him of his past sins. Su Ji Gao, give him spiritual faith. Woi Bao Kuri, Chun Jung, Ryo Jin Nan, give them visa to Korea. Father God, thank you. Let their eyes see well and better. Make them complete and let them hear better. Let them speak better, speak well. Burn all the internal organs with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Skin diseases go away, be cleansed. All cancers, metastasized cancers, go away, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. All high and low blood pressure, diabetes, go away, depression, go away, light come. Father, protect them, give them peace throughout this week. Protect all church vehicles, church members' vehicles, protect them while driving. Let them make no mistakes while driving. Father, thank you. Protect them throughout this week. Give them peace. And also on Friday, there will be final and last special healing session. Let them prepare well so all of them can receive the answers. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.